Let us pray. Eternal Father, you are the God who speaks. All the other gods are idols. They are dumb and say nothing. But you are the living God. You spoke and created all things. And Lord, we thank you for speaking to us your wonderful gospel. And we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us week after week through your scriptures as they are read and preached. Lord, please help us open our hearts to hear your word for the glory of your name. Amen. Please turn with me again to the book of Acts and chapter 2, as I hope we can continue to consider this challenging and inspiring passage together again. And tonight I'd like us to hear the words from verses 22 to 24 as Peter continues to preach his great sermon on that first Christian Pentecost. From Acts chapter 2, from verse 22, the scripture says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." So our passage in Acts is all about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And my question to you is, have you received the promised Spirit? As Peter puts it at the close of his sermon, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So the Spirit is the great promise of God, is the great gift of God for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. A Christian, a true, full Christian, is someone who knows God is Father, Son and Spirit. Who knows the Father, who loves us and adopts us into his family, our great creator and sustainer. And who knows the Son, who became man to redeem us by dying for us. And who knows the Spirit, come to live in us and to transform us into the children of God. And again, I want to stress to you that Christianity is not just believing certain things, not just living a certain way. It is about the power of God, knowing God, the presence of God in us, the Holy Spirit living in us. Do you know the gift? And the Spirit was promised for a purpose. He would come to bear witness to Jesus Christ and to make us into witnesses, to give us power to be bold witnesses, to pass on the good news, to testify that Jesus is Lord and he is the Savior of the world. As the Lord Jesus said to the apostles in that passage in John's Gospel, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness." And this is what you see on the day of Pentecost, is that promise beginning to be fulfilled. And what happened that day sets the mold, the pattern of what the church is about and of what the Holy Spirit has come to do all over the world. What he is doing and what he wants to do in us. He has come to witness in people's hearts, to speak deep within to a person's conscience and convict them of the truth about Jesus, that he is the Lord. And to empower Christians like you and me. So we will be bold witnesses to Christ. We will speak the truth that Jesus is Lord. I put it to you, what we desperately need is that power of the Holy Spirit in us to empower us to be witnesses. Have you received the promised help of the Spirit? When was the last time you spoke to someone about Jesus Christ? When did you last have the courage to speak about Christ to a stranger? Never mind friends and family. What are you doing to be a public witness for Christ at your work or through the church? When did you last boldly speak up for Christ, knowing it would cost you something? Is it not the case? You need this power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in you. So tonight, please consider with me these verses 22 to 24. We've already seen the effect the coming of the Spirit had on Peter. How he was transformed from this timid, fearful, faithless disciple into this mighty preacher, declaring to these crowds in Jerusalem the gospel. And then we see now he's turned to the prophet Joel to explain what the coming of the Spirit and the miraculous signs were about. And now we come to the heart of his message. Peter preaches Christ. This is why the Spirit has come, he says, to testify to this, to Christ. Men of Israel, listen to me. This is what it's all about. That Jesus Christ is revealed to be the Lord and Savior of the world. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior we need. Although you cannot see him, the Spirit testifies he is Lord. So I want us to consider together three important parts of what Peter says here. First, that it was a public appeal. Consider where and to whom he spoke. Secondly, it was powerful. Consider the content of his message. He spoke about God's powerful witness to Christ. And third, it was personal. It was pointed. Consider how he spoke. He aimed at the people's hearts. And so first, it's important to understand that Peter was preaching publicly. And he gives a public appeal. Men of Israel, hear these words. So this is taking place on the day of Pentecost in the center of Jerusalem. And he's preaching to these men of Israel, to the thousands who were gathered there for the religious festival. And he goes out boldly, publicly to the people. And we don't know exactly where Peter made his pulpit. Perhaps in a large square. Perhaps he was in the temple courts. But can you see him, this striking figure, perhaps stood up on some kind of raised level, and he's saying, "Men of Israel, listen!" And a public appeal is given. He's bravely, openly preaching the gospel publicly. He is interrupting what these people are doing. He's dared to go out in the public square and interrupt people and upset people and confront people. And he goes to where the people are. If I could put it this way, if this is setting the mold for what the church is about and what the gospel is about, the gospel is not a secret to be hoarded by the select few. It is not secret information to be kept private. It is not to be contained in your heart as a private faith. It's not to be restricted to being taught only within the four walls of this church. The gospel is to be publicly declared to all in the public square. Because it is the voice of God. It is the message of God to all mankind. And it is the voice of God calling on all people to repent. And it places a demand and an obligation on all mankind. And it is a message for all that Jesus is the Lord of all. And everyone must now acknowledge it. The gospel must always be proclaimed publicly. That's a repeated pattern that is emphasized in the book of Acts. If we can travel back in time, if you like, to that first century, there were so many different competing cults and religions. And the Roman Empire would classify them in different groups, depending on how much freedom and respect they'd be given under Roman law. It would have been so easy for Christianity to have become a marginalized little private sect or cult. And the Christians could have gone along with that and bowed under the Roman pressure and the pressure of the populace and the law and the authorities, and it just become a private little enclave. But they didn't. By the power of the Spirit, they boldly went out, even where they weren't wanted, and proclaimed the truth. Have you noticed how that's emphasized in Acts? What you find in its records, it's always about how the church was publicly declaring the gospel. When the Jewish authorities in the first few chapters tell the apostles, look, just keep your faith to yourself, thank you. Don't go around telling other people. They refuse and they say, what we know, we must speak. Paul, you find, where do you find him? He's debating with the Gentiles in the marketplaces and the public halls of Greece and Rome. And the apostles dared to speak out openly to all. And Christianity is never about something in secret just for the few. The gospel is to be openly, without guile or secret, made known to everyone. The gospel stands up in public and it says, listen to me. I demand a hearing. Men of Israel, hear me. Now, do you see how important it is to make this point? The gospel is God speaking to all mankind. That's the meaning of the signs we've looked at, isn't it? Because today, there is a great deal of pressure to make Christianity a private thing. Something that is to be tolerated and accepted as long as you keep it to yourself. And so Christians are told they're not to speak out on government policy. They're told to stay quiet in the workplace. Told to stay quiet for the fear of upsetting somebody or offending them. But we cannot do that. The very nature of Christianity is a message to all. And it is a message we believe God has commanded everyone to hear. And so you must not listen to that pressure telling you to be silent. And if it provokes persecution and difficulty, we must be willing to bear that cross with gentleness and patience and forbearance. But it would be a price worth paying. I do believe persecution is coming. I do believe that the vast majority of so-called Christians will fall away under it. And the great pressure for us is that we will close the doors and hide ourselves away. And we mustn't. Because the gospel is the only hope. So this is a great challenge to us. Are we going out to the public with the gospel? Is there a danger that so far we've really confined the gospel to these four walls? When really we must go to where the people are. They must hear. This was a great argument the Methodists made in the 18th century. Why they saw so many people converted. They knew the vast majority of people will not come into a church. And even if they did, they wouldn't hear a gospel message. And that's what drove them. That's why they went out and preached in the open air. That's where field preaching came from. Because they knew they had to get the message out. Now for us, it might not be exactly the same field preaching. Maybe it should be. But don't we need to do the same? We have to work hard to fight for that voice in the public square. So let me challenge you by Peter's example. The Spirit has come to make us witnesses publicly. And we're to give a public appeal to all. When was the last time? When was the last time? And if you've not been able to do so at work or at home or with friends, pray for the promised power of the Spirit. Receive His promised help. But then secondly, let me try to encourage you. Peter preached about the power of God. And to sum up what he says here, he says God has powerfully witnessed to Jesus Christ. God the Father has acted in power to say, yes, Jesus is Savior and Lord. Now surely it did take time for the church to formulate a fuller, better understanding of the three persons of the Godhead, but it is here. Because who else but the Divine Son could be so honored by the Divine Father that such mighty works would be given to honor Him and to reveal His identity? But that's what's going on here. He's saying, look, God Himself in power has shown you who Jesus is as Savior and Lord. The theme that binds these verses together is the great power of God. He says, look, God's power has been revealed to you, Israel, through the many signs and wonders God has performed through Jesus. Notice the way he phrases it. Not Jesus performed these, but God performed these many miracles through Jesus. The point he's making is God is saying, this is my Son. My power's at work to show and reveal who he is. The Lord Jesus was empowered by the Spirit, healing the sick, raising the dead. Hallelujah. Walking on water. And they were all signs to testify to who he was, Lord and Savior. God's power was able to do the impossible. And then he says, look, God's power has also been revealed through the death of Jesus. He tells the people they were all guilty of rejecting him. The Jewish people and authorities had joined with the Gentiles. Lawless hands. Lawless hands mean men not under the law and the covenant. He means Pilate and the others. And they worked with them to betray Christ and have him crucified. They schemed together in an evil plot. But God, in his power, has overcome their plot with his plan. He says, look, you plotted evil, but God had a predetermined plan he was working out. And he was actually going to use all their evil and subvert it and redirect it to good. God, who foreknows everything, had already planned that Christ's death would be the salvation we need. He knew it, he planned it from the very beginning. So how great is the power of God? His power is so great, his enemies, doing the most wicked thing possible, are actually in his hand and being used to bring about the greatest good. Now that is sovereign, amazing power. That God's salvation plan cannot be stopped. God's power is so great, he can do the impossible. And Peter spoke of his great power in raising Christ from the dead. God has loosed the pains of death, the chains of nature holding Christ's mortal body, the chains of the grave that had grasped hold of him. God has loosed, he's broken it by power. So now Christ lives and is forever free of death. It was not possible for death to hold him. And so again, how great is this power that shows Jesus really is Lord? It is creative power, bringing life out of death. God's power to do the impossible. Now in these verses, it's almost like Peter's describing a struggle between mankind and God. Sinful mankind, as in the Jews, determined to have the power and to be in charge, to refuse to recognize Jesus is Lord and Savior. God performs miracles to show them who he is. And they will not listen. So they hand Jesus over to evil men. But God will use it to again reveal his Son. They put Jesus to death. Their verdict, he's fit only for the tomb. And God has the final word and raises him up. As Lord and Savior, he will be glorified. The message is that the power is with God. It is futile to resist what he has ordained and brought to pass in his power. It is irresistible, and man's resistance cannot stop it. By his great power, Jesus is Lord. Peter's words should greatly encourage you, because people today still stubbornly refuse to acknowledge Christ. Their sin is the same as these Jews. Despite all that God has done, they will not acknowledge he is who he is. And so you might be tempted to just give up in discouragement. It's hopeless. People are so close-minded, so hostile. What good can I do as a witness? How do I convince someone? Well, you should listen to Peter speaking about the power of God that overcomes all the plots and all the resistance of mankind. By his power, God will reveal his Son, and he will bring people to bow before him. God's power always prevails. God always has the final word. And so we should be just greatly encouraged by the point that Peter's making, and boldly speak for Christ. The power of God is with us. So when you next have a conversation and you feel awkward and your tongue's tied and you're thinking, I don't know how to answer this person's questions. How do I begin to speak about Christ to them when they don't even really want to hear? Remember this, God's almighty power is there to work through you and help you. This is what God's power wants to do. It wants to point to Christ. He's done it in the miracles. He's done it in the resurrection. He was doing it in the plots of the evil people. His power will help you. Trust it. Rely on it. Trust in the power of God. And then the third thing we'd have to say about Peter's words is Peter spoke pointedly and personally. Peter said to the people, You did this, and this is for you. You must respond. Did you see how strongly that's emphasized in his words? He says, a man attested by God to you, which God did through him in your midst. You yourselves know, you have taken by lawless hands. There's two things to say about this. First is that Peter is very pointed. He gets to the point. This is what it's all about. Jesus, Savior, died but risen. He goes directly to the main heart of the gospel. If only we had the same skill at getting to the point, in keeping the main thing the main thing. To be a witness, what you've got to do, following Peter's example, is remember that what people need to hear from you is the news, what God has done in Jesus. We are making the announcement, as Peter does. Here is what God has done. We're like the announcers on the news. Our part is to declare clearly this big, good news. You know, on the evening news TV shows, each story is given just a few minutes. And you know the reporters have had to work hard to sum up the main information in a few brief words. Now, we live in that kind of fast-paced news culture. You've got to be sure you're absolutely clear about what we're saying, and be ready that you're going to pass on the main point when the opportunities come. This is the good news. Jesus is Lord and Savior, revealed so by death and rising. And so now everything has changed. What are you going to do about it? Your job as a witness is not to engage in debate about opinions or to argue for the rightness of certain particular Christian customs above others. There is a wonderful simplicity to the gospel, endlessly deep. And when someone becomes a Christian, you know that the whole of their life is then about learning and growing. But as a witness, get to the point. Isn't that what Peter does? Here's the main thing. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Declare it. And Peter spoke pointedly. He aimed at the people's hearts. He was aiming for conviction. He was seeking a response. He was speaking personally to them, to you. Can you imagine him pointing the finger at people in the crowd? The gospel is personal. It demands a decision from everyone who hears it, that you cannot be indifferent. And Peter knows this, and he's gripped with passion and zeal. It is a personal word from God to every individual. You can't hide in a crowd. God says, you sinner, you have rejected my son. You need to turn to him. And life and death are at stake, more than life or death. And how a person responds to Jesus Christ determines their eternal destiny. So as a witness, you've got to look somebody in the eye. And you say, yes, there's lots of interesting questions, but what about you? You are a sinner, and you must decide. What do you say about Jesus Christ? And so Peter is to the point and pointed. When the Holy Spirit is at work empowering us, we'll speak with that same boldness and that same clarity. Is it not the case that you need the Holy Spirit's power? When was the last time? When was the last time you spoke of Christ like Peter to a sinner? So let me leave you with this final point. If the gospel is such a personal word, you, the only way you can speak to someone like that is when you first personally yourself know the gospel. Do you know that Jesus is Lord and Savior? Do you know that grace of God that forgives sin, that gives new life? Do you know the great transformation that comes through believing? Do you know the love of God shed abroad in your heart? Do you know the mighty power of the Spirit loosening your tongue so that you speak? Do you know that you are a sinner and you know he's a great Savior? Well, I pray that we do. Is it not the case? You really do need the Spirit's power. Receive his promised help. Look for his promised help. Pray for his promised help. That we might be witnesses like Peter. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive us for our fearfulness and timidity, that we so often shrink back when there is an opportunity to speak of Christ. And that, Lord, we are often hopeless at going out with the gospel. Lord, we lack that power within ourselves. But thank you, Father, for the gift of your Spirit, that your power, Lord, can do the impossible. Your power can work through us. Lord, we look for the promise of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that his power would work through us. Even this coming week, Lord, please give us opportunities and boldness and wisdom to speak of Christ. Empower us as we pray, Lord, as witnesses to the glory of your Son, that he is the Lord and Savior of the world. In his name we ask. Amen.